Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830, WCCO. Twins tomorrow night. And Saturday and Sunday. Steve Thompson will be on Saturday. He does an outstanding job of giving you all that that is there. And he will. Joining us now on the Shift Real Estate Hotline, Matt Kolscher is a head basketball coach at Osakis. And he's one of those guys, man. If I would have been left to my druthers, I'd have been just like him. And I've been teaching and coaching. If I'd have gone left instead of going right, and I'd have been in a small town there playing amateur baseball and coaching Suns AAU and all this stuff, and that's what Matt does, and he's a part of a group that does things like that in Osakis. But the reason we have him on tonight is because with Memorial Weekend coming up, the town of Osakis is reeling a little bit. And I'll get to that in a minute. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, how is Lake Osakis, how has it been as a fishery here early in the season?
Well, I'm not a fisherman, but I know a lot of people are out and about, and they're catching some fish out there, so I guess that's a good sign.
Yeah, I was on that lake when we came up a couple weeks ago there to see you, and that is a bigger lake than I realized.
Yeah, it is. I live in Alexandria, where we got a lot of lakes that I'm on more than I am Osakis, but yeah, when we drive around that thing to get to our sporting events, the lake just keeps going and going, that's for sure.
Now, the reason that I bring you on tonight is because you lost a colleague and a friend and a coaching confidant in your community. But the story gets layers deep because 4.5 years ago, he lost his wife. And that means that the two of them, they have three sons, and one in high school, one in college, one just out of college, that were left without parents at a very young age. Explain that situation and how that transpired and what that has been like to observe that and live through that over the last several years.
Well, yeah, Kyle and I became really close about, probably about 6.5, 7 years ago when our sons were in the same grade, started playing basketball together in fourth grade. So Kyle and I, we've coached them from fourth grade to the present in basketball and baseball. So I got a chance to know his family. And when I got to know him, his wife, Danny, was really sick, kind of getting towards the end of her pancreatic cancer. And, Kyle was just a loving guy, and the kids were young at that point in time. And when she passed away, everyone kind of knew it was coming at some point, but still when it happened, it was still devastating for the family because here's a guy, single parent now, having three kids that he has to raise, and he became a real kind of mother father like figure to all that stuff, taking care of all these household things that were kind of thrown upon him, and in these last 5 years being a single parent, having him go through graduations and proms and first dates and registering kids for school and school shopping and cooking and grocery shopping and all those things, just seeing Kyle kind of grow as a person and as a family man, along with the teacher and a coach, was just truly remarkable. And I'm so thankful that I got a chance to know him and his family. And yeah, with the passing of him and those three kids in our community.
Explain that. So he gets them, a couple of them, he gets out of high school, et cetera, and his kids are athletic and all those things. But I guess it'd be a month or two ago, he gets sick. I mean, how did it come down the pike? It was much more sudden for him.
Yeah, so for him, he had a double ear infection. And ear infections are something that was routine for him. He got them, like, every year. And so he wasn't coming to school because of that. And he went to the doctor, and You know, he was taking medication for the ear infection. That was originally why he wasn't in school. He just had a pounding headache, and he was miserable, and it was tough for him to talk. And while he was there, you know, they just tested him for COVID, and he had it. And then 2 days later, after I talked to him, he was found passed away. He passed away in his sleep. So I know they've done an autopsy, and I don't know what the results are from that, but it was extremely sudden. And, you know, it was something that when we got to school at 8 a.m., we had a meeting, and I think he passed away like 35 minutes ago, or that's when wow. he was found by his son, Drew.
Wow. And so how did you guys process that as a faculty? Because you want to reach out to the family, and you're reeling from losing your friend.
Oh, I mean, it was utter shock. I mean, that day when we left the auditorium as a staff, you know, we were heartbroken. Our staff has been hit with a lot of tragedy, you know, kind of in the last year, and especially this year with either students' parents or, like, faculty parents passing away, and just throwing this kind of onto it at the end of the year was just heartbreaking because he was so loved. Again, he grew up in Osakis, graduate from there, a lot of friends and family in the area that admired him, so to lose him and even his students, they were just completely heartbroken when they heard the news as well. So Thursday was like utter shock, not really knowing what was going on, kind of numb, not being able to talk to him in between classes like I usually do because he's right across the hallway from me. And then it just kind of went to like the next day, like a very depressive state for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, because the emptiness that comes with you, it's not going to change, right? He's not coming back.
Right, yeah, the emptiness for sure. And, you know, for a lot of people, we're all coping in many different ways. And, you know, luckily for the boys, they've been really busy since his passing. You know, they're finding ways to preoccupy their mind, you know, coming back to school. They're still involved in sports and kind of planning the next stage in their life. And, you know, it's a lot of us, too. You know, a lot of his friends were coaches and teachers, so we have to move forward and get ready for that. And but it's those down moments where you really start to reflect. And like you say, these boys, they don't have a mother and a father that'll be with them to walk them down the aisle, to, you know, be there for the birth of their grandchildren and all that stuff. Those kind of things you take for granted as parents and children that they're not going to be able to experience.
Yeah, Jess Hartman is an assistant coach at St. Cloud State, and would be the, you know, the aunt to them right now. And in talking to her, she was so impressed by the way that the town of Osakis and the school rallied around in true small town fashion. Explain what that means in a small town when something like that hits and how people react.
Well, I just think, you know, in the small community we live in, you know, everybody's connected in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, they come together to support not only the school, but the people who are in the community. You know, whether it's, you know, spaghetti feeds for people who have benefits, you know, if they're going through cancer or they lost a house or someone in their family is sick. And just to see the community rally behind and support the family with money donations, with helping out with the kids and registrations. You know, like me and a couple other coaches, we're trying to help Drew especially. You know, he had all these plans that him and his dad were going to do this summer, and we want to make sure that he's able to do them. Oh. So we're trying to figure out, you know, how to register him for golf tournaments. And we've reached out to the Minnesota Junior PGA, and we have friends who own golf courses in town that are helping us do that stuff. And getting scholarships, and whether it's moving Drew from his current situation to moving in with his aunt at some point in time, finding ways to celebrate Kyle's birthday. You know, we took our group that Kyle and I have been coaching. It was his birthday just a few days after his funeral. Huh. So we you know, shared grief shared is grief diminished. So we went out and brought some of Kyle's favorite things to his gravesite and had a little birthday party for him. You know, we've created tributes for Kyle and just anything we can do to keep his memory going. But not only that, making sure that the kids try to have as much of a normal life as they possibly can, as if their parents were still around, because that's the last thing that our community would want to see is a family like that to see the kids, you know, not get what they traditionally would probably get to experience if their parents were around.
And it helps a lot that you guys are dialed in and you know the kids and you know the parents, so you know what path they were on and how to take them there. The night that it happened, they told me that everybody just drove to the football field naturally, and they turned the lights on and people just grieved. It sounded like that was a powerful moment for everybody.
Oh, it was. You know, it was something that was just impromptu with, you know, the football coach, Bill Infanger. He contacted us other coaches, and it was kind of just going to be, you know, coaches and just some of the athletes. But then word spread, and pretty soon it was community members. It was former players. It was former parents of players that he coached. And, yeah, I mean, we thought it maybe be a half hour, 45 minutes. It turned into like an over two-hour event. Kyle's family showed up. His kids showed up, and yeah, it was a lot of crying, a lot of hugging, a lot of sharing some stories. And, you know, for me personally, just seeing the boys there and how strong they were, it gave me a lot of comfort knowing that, you know, that they're going to be okay. So, I mean, it helped me out personally just to see how, again, those boys are strong. To go what they've gone through with their mom and now their dad. It is unbelievable the type of character that those boys are, but, you know, they're product of their parents. And they had good role models, and, you know, they're going in the right direction.
Matt, when you see that, based on what you've learned from this, that, you know, there are other people that we see a child, maybe a friend's teammate or classmate, lose a parent. Certainly two would be incredibly unique as this situation is. But what advice do you give people in terms of how to reach out and how to approach those kids that have just been devastated?
Well, I think you have to take the approach where, you know, you have to ask. You know, his kids are not the type of kids that are going to ask for help. You know, and Kyle was the same way too. You know, a lot of humbleness, whatever. So, I mean, just a simple hello, how you doing, a hug, those things can go a long way. And just keeping tabs on kind of what they're doing. I feel that I owe it to Kyle to make sure that his son has a positive high school experience and moving forward. You know, I still reach out to Luke, who graduated. And it's not.
Who, by the way, was one of the great running backs in the state, and he's still playing college football, right?
Yeah, he was one. Yeah, he was in the All-Star football game. He's playing football at Moorhead. He played basketball for me since he was a ninth grader. He was a great baseball player, just overall great athlete. And so just making sure that they're still fine, because, you know, you got to think at some point Thanksgiving's coming up and Christmas. And,
yep.
You know, they're used to coming
Father's
back.
Father's Day, Memorial Day, yeah. Mother's Day they went through. I mean, it goes on and on without thinking about it, doesn't it?
Right. And, you know, people are very good at suppressing their feelings and, you know, kind of keeping it in the backburner, not showing emotion. So you got to find a way to just reach out and connect to these kids, or anyone for that matter, because, you know, people, they do a good job of putting on multiple faces. And, you know, I worry about what it's like for them when they're alone. You know,
yep.
Are they reflecting? Are they
yep.
sad? So just got to stay on top of them and keep finding ways to break through.
Well, you are. We appreciate you giving us some time. And, boy, keep up the great work. And, Matt, we know that as difficult as it is, as I hear your voice, I'm so thankful that they're surrounded by people like you and others in that area, their family and their coaches. So thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for sharing their story tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Matt Holscher, head coach at...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.